Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us here on Making It Last with your host, Pamela King. It's all about topics relating to marriage, dating, and love. It's about connection, commitment, and consistency in your life, in your marriage, and with yourself. Thank you for joining, Pamela, and stay tuned for a good enlightening conversation with your host and her guest here on Making It Last.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, listeners. Thank you guys for joining me today here on Making It Last for this midday chat. You know how we like to do it. We like to come together and just chatter and talk about things that about love, relationship, marriage, wives, husbands, kids, whatever it is that allows us to stay united and connected and bonded. And that's exactly what we're going to do today. I am really excited about today's topic. I hope you guys can hear me. I tried a new headset. Hold on, Janine, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you perfectly.
Okay, so y'all can hear me. Good. I'm excited about today's topic because it's about transitioning from the corporate world into the home, and transitioning full-time into the home. And a lot of families are embracing that or is being faced with that or even wanting to go that route. But it looks like a glory on the outside, and it looks like it's something that, of course, I'll be able to do it. I want to do this and this, and it's going to be a benefit for my family. But there is so much that goes into a transition from you getting a check, you being your own boss, you leaving the house, you putting on clothes, you just interacting with adults, to coming into the household and you're in your house 24/7. I'm not saying literally that you never leave it, but there's so much that goes into that transition. And I have a great guest here, Attorney Janine Davis, that is going to talk to us about this because, believe it or not, I did say attorney, but she has done this. She has done this transition from the corporate world, meaning being a full-time attorney, to being at home and being 100% at home with her family. So we're going to talk to her about that. I hope you guys had a wonderful 4th of July because we had a ball ourselves. But you know how I do it here at Making It Last. We are going to take this conversation to our Heavenly Father. Well, let me say to my Heavenly Father. We want to say our opening prayer like we always do because we never know what he really wants us to talk about. Today I do have it scheduled for us to talk about transitioning, but you never know. And I always try to bring him into this conversation because everything that I do is to glorify him. And marriage is his baby. This is his thing. And so anything that comes out of my mouth, I want to be correct. And I want to be able to say that I am following in what he wants me to do. And so I won't him to guide our conversation. So what we want to do, I'm going to ask that you guys indulge me because we are going to pray, Janine. So this is something that we do every time on our show. So I'm just going to open our show in prayer. So Jehovah God, I come to you at this time, and I just ask that you bless myself, bless my guests, and give us the words that we need to bless those that are listening, the callers on the line, and those that are going to listen to this call later on. We know that there are so many people, husbands, wives, that want to be able to be at home full-time with their kids, be at home full-time with their wife, be at home full-time with their husband. But we need to help them know the right way to do it. We also need them to understand that that is what you want for them and their purpose. That being at home is not a purpose for everyone. So it may look good for some, it may look good for others, but we have to do what is best for our family. So I want you to help myself and Janine to give the right information today. It may be about transitioning from a career to home. It may be about transitioning from something else. All I ask is that you bless us, bring the Holy Spirit into this conversation so that we can do what we need to do today to bless a husband and a wife that is listening on this call. So I do thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for Janine taking the time out of her family life and out of her kids' life to speak to us and speak to my guests. So I do thank you. And in your son, Jesus Christ's name, I say amen. And I hope everyone that is listening say amen, hallelujah, or whatever they need to say. So, Janine,
amen.
I just thank you for being here with us today because, you know, I've been knowing you for a little while now, and I've had watched you for even longer. and I was amazed to hear that you were an attorney and you decided to give it up. We're going to talk about the word give it up, but she is not outside of the home working, that she decided to come in and be with her babies and her husband. And I just wanted to bring you on for you to talk to us about that and all of that good stuff. But before I bring you in to really chat, I want people to know exactly who you are and all of that good stuff. So let me just give y'all a brief synopsis of Janine. She is a wife of 24 years and a mother of four children, ages 18-year-old, who is headed to Spelman. Yay! She has a 11-year-old son, and she has twin girls who are 7. So you see, she definitely has her hands full, but as an attorney and a litigator, she helped clients with a variety of legal matters, including murder charges, bankruptcy, real estate transactions, and family law matters. With the birth of her twins, she stopped working outside the home and began working primarily in the home in order to care for all her children. While working at home, she started James Davis and Associates, a consulting firm for small and mid-sized companies to help them grow their businesses in a strategic manner. Additionally, she created the blog Janine's World, where she writes stories designed to encourage, inspire, and motivate women to be their best at work and home. Now, there's so much more to Janine, but that I just said, she writes stories designed to encourage, inspire, and motivate women. Janine, tell me, why did you even think that was your platform to touch women, to reach women after you left the law office?
Well, you know what? It started off, interestingly enough, just on Facebook. A lot of people hate social media. I'm not one of them. Being at home all day long, the only interaction I was getting with adults a lot was on social media. And I was writing things on Facebook just to cheer myself up. I'm a big believer in you speak things into existence because, like you, I'm a church girl. And, you know, God calls us to speak things that are not as if they're going to, as if they are, things that are going to be. And so I would wake up on Monday, and I would say it's magnificent Monday, and I would try to convince myself of a reason why Monday was magnificent. Maybe it was magnificent because none of the kids are sick, or maybe it's magnificent because payday was Friday and my husband gave me some money. But for whatever reason it was, every day I would write something on Facebook motivating. And I started it, to be honest, to motivate myself, to encourage myself, because being at home with just the one income when you're used to two, there's an income difference. There's a hard thing to switch from two incomes to one income, and to have just twins is extremely hard work. And so I wanted something that would encourage me, that would motivate me. And I would figure if I would put it on Facebook, it's out there for the world, so I have to find something magnificent. Tuesdays, there had to be something terrific in life for me to celebrate. On Wednesdays, something wonderful. And I did that throughout the week. And from those little sentences became paragraphs. Those paragraphs turned into blog posts. Because people started looking forward to my magnificent Monday statement or my thrilling Thursday statement. And since people were starting to look for it, I wanted to give more. And as I gave more to other people, it helped me also. Because I can't say, well, it's magnificent Monday and pout all day. I had to get in a good mood because it's magnificent. And that's where it started, just trying to talk myself into it. And so I figured, you know what, I'm home with these twins. I got the boy coming home from kindergarten in a few hours, and I got the teenager in middle school. The husband's going to be home by dinner time. I can't sit home in a bad mood. I got to do something to cheer myself up to be happy. And I figured if I have those needs, other people do too. So why reinvent the wheel? If I can do something that will share and help other people, they can benefit from it, and they don't have to reinvent the wheel.
That's a good point that you made. Why reinvent the wheel? So I wanted you to come on today and definitely help those that are thinking about transitioning, because I was a transitioner and I had no one to get any help on. I worked in corporate America all my life, and you know how that is. You have that power job, and you got your money, and you know you your own woman. But once you decide that you're going to come home and be a full-time mom, or 100% engaged, I'm sorry, 100% engaged mom and 100% engaged wife, there is a mental thing that you definitely have to undertake.
Yes.
So
yes.
Tell us, how did you decide that it was time for Janine Davis to not be Attorney Janine Davis at a law firm and to bring Attorney Janine Davis to the household?
Well, for me, it was the birth of the twins. My husband was self-employed. I was self-employed. Had my own law firm secretary working it. It was a wonderful thing. And the thing was, when I had my 18-year-old, when she was a little girl and I had to go to court, she could stay home with her dad. He could take care of her for a few hours while I was in court. Same thing with my son. But when the twins came along, my husband's a little older. I'm a little older. The patience isn't there for him trying to develop his business. Plus twin girls, and people think twins are cute and easy because they don't have them. When you have children, it's work. You know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Twins are work. I mean, I nursed all of my children until they were at least 16 months old. So you try nursing twins all day.
Wow.
So that seems like,
right.
Oh, I don't know why I bought shirts that first year and a half, because all I did was nurse the children. And so doing that, and we were never a daycare family. We were always, we took care of our children. They went from our house to kindergarten. And so with the twins, the same thing, having them at home, I was at home with them. And my husband liked me being at home. He liked not having daycare for the children. So it was something that he said, you don't have to rush off and get a job. Just take care of the children. And so that's what I did. And what I noticed is that when I was at home, there was a difference between the twins and my older two, because I was always there. It's steady. It's dependable. They know when they get off the bus, mommy's there. You get on the bus in the morning, mommy's there. If the nurse calls, mommy's at home. I'm not in court. They don't have to try and interrupt a court here. I was a litigator. That's why I stay in court. As a litigator, we're the people who are arguing in court, objection, Your Honor, and all that kind of stuff. That was me. And as I stayed home and made my focus my family, it was a big shift for me, because I'm one of those liberated feminist women. And so for me to switch from being outside working to being at home, it was a big switch, but it really was best for our family, because I could take care of the children. I could be available to them. They had lunches. They had breakfast. They had someone there to come read to the class. Mommy, you didn't come read to the class. Okay, I'll come read to the class. So there was always someone to read to the class, to make the cupcakes, to do all of those things. But it wasn't just the household things. The children seem to like knowing that I'm there and that they are a priority to me. And that was the big thing in our house. And every household is different, so I don't make judgments on what people should or shouldn't do. God has you in your house for a reason. This is what God put in our house. And it works in our house. That's why we do it. Everyone should, of course, do what works for them. But
so,
our children like. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Let me ask this hard question, because I know it wasn't that easy to decide, and we're not going to sugarcoat it by no means. So tell me, how did you and Mr. Davis have this conversation? Was he always 100% in, or were you always 100% saying, okay, I can give up not working outside the home? Just give us a synopsis of how that went, or how do you approach that situation with your spouse?
It was not an easy decision. I, like I said, when I graduated from law school, my teeny bopper, well, I call her my Spelly now since she's on her way to Spelman, but when I graduated from law school, she was 3 months old. She was born while I was in law school. So when I graduated from law school, I opened my own practice from the beginning. And being an attorney is a very ego-boosting thing, because it's a job where you get a lot of respect, period. People respect your intelligence. They respect your decision-making. They respect everything about your profession. As a mother who's at home, that same respect level is not there. That's the bottom line. And so what happened was it was time the girls were not breastfeeding anymore, and so I was looking to go back and restart my law office. And I was talking with my husband about, okay, well, when I have client appointments, you're going to watch the girls during these hours and those hours. And he did not want to do it because he's trying to develop his business. He's trying to work. And as I said, twins are hard. And I've always been the primary caretaker of the children, even though my husband is there, very engaged, wonderful man, can't have him, but he's a wonderful man who helps with everything. He's a helper and a partner. I'm selfish, girl. He's a helper and a partner, but he did not want to watch the girls and work. So he did not want to do it. So we had to make decisions. You're going to work, they're going to go to daycare. Like I said, we're not a daycare family, so we didn't want them in daycare. So the decision was, what are you going to do? Well, I can't take them to work with me. My law firm's not paying me enough to have a nanny full time, so I'm just going to stay home until they go to kindergarten. And so that was the decision. It wasn't real complicated. I was a primary caretaker because I'm a breastfeeding mom. You know, it's only so much equal stuff a week you can do when you're breastfeeding, you're primary caretaking, period. You know, he can give him a bottle, he can change a diaper, but breastfeeding mom, you're primary, that's it. So it makes sense for me to be the one to stay with them. And he always liked me working, to be honest. He liked me working, he liked me getting those nice checks and giving him the money, because our situation was always we bring all the money home, we share it. We pay our tithes, we pay our bills, and whoever grabs the quarter that's left on the table has spending money that week. So he liked me being able to. That's how we did it. You know, since I got married, I was 23 years old. I was 23 a whole month when I got married. So I was a young bride, wow. So we grew together. We don't know much different because he was 28, I was 23, we grew up together. My husband met me when I was 19 years old. We were friends for 2 years, then we dated for 2 years, and then we got married. And so he liked having me with a paycheck. He liked me making money and contributing financially. But when it was time for the twins to do something and it's time for me, okay, we're not breastfeeding anymore, I can go to work, he just was not willing to watch them. He said it was too much. He would not be able to do it. He said, there's no way I can run a business plus deal with the twins. Because unlike some twins who will do things one after the other, no, they will do it all at the same time. They have to eat together. They're going to the bathroom at the same time, you know, and it was a lot of work. And realistically speaking, he wouldn't have been able to do his business plus watch them even for a few hours a day. So the decision was made, okay, you stay home. And, you know, so, at the time, I did it.
So you at home. And you're the primary feeder of the kids, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And you made a good point. You made a mention about the money. And you guys, when you was working, he was working, all the money came into the house. You tied, you paid your bills, what was left over, you know, who got it. I know you were being funny with that. But now it's about there's one income. So how do you handle the money issue now? Is it, Have you guys went to his mind because he's working and you're at home?
We've always done, it's in our house, it's our money. It doesn't matter who makes it. I mean, there were times when I'm working as attorney, when my first murder trial, I got a check for $80,000. So, and that was to cover my fees, and then I got more checks for expenses. When I brought home that $80,000 on that Tuesday, I brought the money home. We treated it just like we did everything. And his paycheck for that week, he was a mortgage broker, his paycheck was only $10,000 that week. But I didn't say to him, this is my 80, so you spend your 10. When we went to a point where he was the only one bringing in cash, we still did it the same way. There was just less to divide. But our house, like I said, we started when we were young. We didn't know any different. So whoever brings the money in, it doesn't matter. It's our money. So he brings the money, comes in, and we spend it.
Let's stay here for just a second. And as y'all know, we talk about transition, but as I said before, I just go wherever the conversation and God sends us. So I want to talk about this money issue because I don't want us to blow over it, because sometimes mm-hmm. this is one of the main reasons why people don't are not able to transition. And then yes. there are some that transition and they don't understand this piece, because this is a piece that can make or break a marriage.
Oh, yeah,
And this finances, I know Mr. Davis, you guys started out this way, right? You started out putting the money on the table.
This is what we got to do, coming home from the honeymoon.
Right, but everyone is not there.
No, everyone is not there. Everyone is different. It wouldn't have worked for me if he would tell me this is my money because I'm working. Okay, you're working outside, but you can't work outside if I'm not home taking care of your children. But that's, like I said, that's our piece. The way we saw it, we're partners. It's us against the world. You know, so it's God bless us to be together. It's us against the world, period. So he goes out and works, and I appreciate that because I like spending his money, and I'm very good at spending his money. I am. Girl, I am a champ. But at the same time, he can't go make that money if I don't have clean shirts for him to wear, because he's working all day long. He's tired. He can't do laundry. He can't go to the market and get the groceries that he needs. He needs me to do my part. And so it turned out that my part has become more stereotypical, you know, more of the housewife-type duties. But my position is I'm not married to my house. I'm married to my husband. So I'm his partner. And if I am your partner, the money you make is still my money. It's still our money. And we divide it how we see fit. And that's just, that works for us. That, you know, it's just ours. We're married. We're one. The bank account is ours. Whatever we comes into the house, it's just ours. And we don't know, like I said, because we got married young, and that's the way we always did it, when we did the transition, we didn't know any other way to do it. Now, later, as I started to blog and I started consulting, I made a little bit of money, nothing near what he made, but it's still the same thing. This is money. It's in our house to take care of whatever we need to take care of. But money is real, because if you can't come to an agreement on the money, that may keep women from staying at home, because you need, I mean, the life is, truth is, you need cash. If I'm sitting at home with the kids and I want to go out and treat them to pizza, I don't want to have to say, well, I didn't make any money this week, so I can't buy pizza. I want to take his Visa card and go buy my kids some pizza. I'm a knitter. If I want to knit, I want to be able to go and buy yarn. I don't want it to say that, well, my husband has money. Darren, can I borrow? No, it's not borrow. Give me money. And so the difference with us when I was at home is that the paychecks now would come in and it's just all his paycheck. But, okay, this is my money. This is your money. So, okay, so I'm going to save a little bit of this money you gave me, because I know what I want is going to take two paychecks to get. So I'm just going to hold on to this little bit of money next week. And so the money is different, and we have less to spend. And that's changing, because as the years have gone by, he makes more money. We learned how to shop better. I learned what coupons were, because I didn't know before. I like being very wealthy. I like being able to walk into a store, and if I wanted it, I picked it up, and I didn't care about prices. But things change. When we're down to one income, now I have to look at prices. And now we're at a position where it's interesting, because now we're getting better financially, because he has a really nice salary now. I'm making a little bit of money on the side working at home, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But now my teenager's going off to college, and that sucked up all our extra money right there. Now we're not even going to have a quarter on the table to fight over, because she's taking it. So
now that you know, you have all the kids are in school now, right?
Well, actually, right now, this is funny. We're all, like, getting our eyes examined.
No. I mean, all your kids.
Normally, they're in school. The kids go to the little ones are in school basically from 8:30 in the morning. I put them on the bus. I get them off the bus at 4:30. The teenager, she was leaving the house at 7 in the morning and getting home by 3 in the afternoon. So I have all day long where the kids are gone, basically from September till June.
So there was never the discussion to go back now that the you're not the primary feeder of the twins? So
once I got free from feeding duty, We did talk about that, and then when we talked about that,
okay.
we talked about daycare, because if I'm working either for myself, which is what I would like to do, reopen my own law firm, or if I work for someone else's law firm, I would have to have daycare, because when it's normally, you know, a 9 to 5, I live in Bryn Mawr, which is a suburb outside of Philadelphia, so most likely I'd be working at courts in Philadelphia, which is what I normally did. And so that means from 9 to 5, I'd be working someplace else. By the time I get home, it's 6 o'clock. But my children at age 7, the youngest ones right now are 7, and my son is 11. You cannot leave 2 7-year-old girls and an 11-year-old boy home alone, because you
right.
may not have a home to come home to. I mean, you just can't do that. And when we sat down and we looked at daycare. And we looked at, you know, how much daycare would cost. And for our family, daycare would be between $3,000 and $4,000 a month. That's a lot of money. For our family, that's a lot of money. And so if I'm going to go and spend, say, $4,000 a month on daycare, plus I need transportation back and forth to work, I'm going to need pantyhose, I'm going to need shoes, I'm going to need lunch, I'm going to need, you know, all of those realistic things you're going to need, I need different clothes. You know, I need nice suits to go in the court. I go looking good. I don't go looking tacky. I know it's the things you need, not things you want. So about it, it's going to cost me at least $2,000 a month. Okay, maybe if I go cheap, say $1,000 a month for me between transportation, clothing, meals, and all the things that I would need to be working outside. So now we're at $5,000 a month it costs me to go to work.
Uh-huh.
And then for me, and then I would keep whatever I made on top of that. That didn't make sense to us. It made more sense to us for me to still continue to be at home a little while longer, because the children are so young and because they need daycare. And it was funny. This is an interesting thing, because even 2 weeks ago, I was looking at jobs, and I was going to apply for a job because, of course, college costs money. We were looking for extra money. And my husband says, you want to be a writer, you need to write. So you need to write some books. Those books you've been saying you're going to finish, you need to finish. And so I made this thing, okay, I'll tell him I'll have this first book out and published on Kindle by July 15th. He says, okay, well, if you have the book done by July 15th, you can stay home because you're a writer. Writers write. And if this is a job, writers get paid money. So you write your books and you make money. If you're not going to do that, then you need to go get a job. So I'm working hard. My first book is going to be published and up on sale on Kindle on July 15th, because he's not playing. And it just makes so much sense for me, for our family, to be able for me to work at my writing during the day while the kids are at school. That's when I write. I stop writing in time to start dinner and get them from the school bus. I don't do any work basically from 4 p.m. until 9 o'clock p.m. because that's the time that they need attention. Because that time is 8:30, but by the time you fight with kids, they're not in bed for real until 9 o'clock. And so from 4 o'clock till 9 o'clock, I don't do any work. I just pay attention to the children and doing things with them. On the weekends, the same thing. From 9 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock at night, I don't do any work. I take care of my family. And what's different for me now, since I'm at home all the time, is that my schedule was evolved around my children's schedule. Instead of before, when I worked, the children were around my schedule and everything worked around my schedule. Now everything revolves around my children. And I told him, look, you're important to me. That's why I put everything else aside. That's why I'm not working. That's why I'm sitting here talking to you, because you're important to me. And so
when do you find the meantime? Because, you know, being at home and devoting so much time to the kids and to the husband, sometimes we as women get lost and we forget to take care of us. So when does Janine find the meantime?
I do that two ways. One day a week, I go to Starbucks because I don't like to shop. I can spend money, but I only like to shop for yarn and books, to be quite honest with you. I don't like to buy clothes. I don't like to buy food. I do it. I buy the food because you have to. But what
right.
I do for enjoyment is I take my laptop computer and I plug in my earphones and I go to Starbucks for a few hours, and it's just me. And that thrills me. That makes me feel good. Another thing I do is one, and I do the Starbucks thing on my husband's day off. The kids love it because they were daddy, mommy's gone. They can talk about me. I'm a
oh, that's a good trade-off.
You know, so I'm out for those cups. And I only stay going for 2 hours. I don't go long because it's just not my personality. And I come home in time to put them to bed or, you know, they should be in bed. I go, okay, good night, everybody. And then I, you know, it's done. Another thing I do is one day a week is long bubble bath time where, you know, and that's usually on a Sunday evening because my husband's home. And, okay, I'm taking a bubble bath. I'm going to have a cold drink and crushed ice, and nobody's going to talk to me. And I'm going to ignore you if you call me. And those are the two times where I find time just for me. And that normally works. Once in a while, a couple times a year, once or twice a year, my husband will say, okay, you know what, you need to go to the hotel for a weekend. So just get out the hotel and get out. Don't come back. And I will go and, you know, I'll check into the Marriott and I'll spend the day there and, you know, order pizza to come to the room and watch trash TV. And it's quiet. It's just quiet and it's just no ma, 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 ma. And it's nice.
Right.
I don't need a lot of it. I just need that once or twice a year, and it's a good thing. And the interesting thing about the Janine time was I didn't realize I needed it until my husband said one time, you're a little snappy. You got a little attitude problem. You need to calm down. I don't have an attitude problem. You need to mind your business. I got an attitude without getting on my nerves. And, you know, then I had to check myself. I prayed about it, and
yeah.
I got convicted about it. And it turned, well, you know, I did have an attitude problem, and I did need to get out of the house away from the all day, every day, mommy, 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 mommy. And just the, if I sit down to breathe, mommy, can you tie my shoe? Mom, how do you do this calculus problem? Mom, I got to do a project for school, and they told me 3 weeks ago, but I decided to put it off until tonight. So they said, you help me? You know, all that kind of stuff. I needed a break. And so my husband says, you need to get out the house, and you need to go to Starbucks. It's down the street. Go. Here's $5. Go. Okay, fine. You know, he don't know me, $5. I got unlimited resources. I got a gold card. $5, that's enough for me to get coffee, a snack, and I get unlimited refills. I can be at Starbucks all day with $5. So it was. And so that's how I discovered it. And it got to be a point where he'd be at home at 6 o'clock. At 6 o'clock, I'm standing at the door waiting for him to come in, hi, bye, and I'm running out the door. One time I'd even cook dinner for the children. They had snacks and they're sitting there and he's looking around the house. And what do y'all do me? You hungry? Didn't your mother feed you? No, mommy said she leaves us. And so I got used to having that be my me time. The children got used to it. My husband did. And it worked out well. So it's not a lot of time. Just a little bit. It doesn't have to be a lot of me time.
Yeah.
But just something that you know is yours. You can look forward to it all week and just have it.
It is so important, and I like the fact that everyone, you've trained everyone that when mommy packs up her laptop and gets her gold card, Starbucks gold card, that's me time. And when she runs that bubble bath, y'all smell all the fruit in the air, you know when I close this door not to bother me. That's really good to do because even though you are transitioning or you have transitioned to home and you're home being mom and wife 100% of the time, you still have to have that downtime, that relaxing time, that time that you just pour into yourself. So that's really good.
Yeah.
And the fact that your husband sends you away for the weekend by yourself a couple of times a year. I'm going to have to play this and let my husband hear this and tell him he's missing out. So thank you for that. I'm going to have to put that on the refrigerator. So where is my Marriott weekend? So.
Yeah, and it's a good thing. And it just sometimes just to just be, you know, just to be. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. Because I tell them, look, I take a Motel 6. You know, it don't have to be fancy. Just to have that time to be out of the house, just to be Janine. Not to be mom, not to be wife, not to be whatever. Just to be Janine. And it's important, and I like it, and I treasure it. I like Starbucks. You know, they know my drink. They have, you know. And it's just nice to have something for yourself. And I think that's something that we miss, being at home. And, you know, during the day, even if I'm at home working, if the school calls, somebody's sick, I'm the one that they call. If the school calls because somebody's acting like a nut in class, I'm the one they call. Mom, you have to come read to the class. Mom, I'm in the play. And it's incredible how much stuff those kids do all day long in school that they think you need to come to. And then with the twins, you know, I'm running back and forth from class to class. And, you know, it's a lot of work. And that's something that people don't realize often when you're at home, when you transition to home full time. It's a lot of work. There are six people in our house. That's laundry for six people. That's breakfast, lunch, and dinner dishes for six people. That's cleaning up the house after six people. That's managing the groceries, the mail, just the bills, just everything that you have to do. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work when your kids can make sure, okay, everybody's homework. It's just a lot of work. It's not, don't think that you're going to transition to being home and you're going to be bored, that you're going to just sit and watch soap operas all day, you know, or Jerry Springer. You wish you could, but you just can't because there is stuff to do.
And good point that you made, because some people don't realize that once you transition home, you are the scheduler, you are the organizer. Everything that you take for granted at work, when you just show up at work and you know what's going to happen, and when you're when you're home 100% of the time, you are it. If dinner doesn't get done or you don't eat, that's you. If there's no food in the refrigerator, we got to look at you. If your husband do not have any clean drawers to wear to work, that's because you did not do the job that you signed up
for.
It's so important to understand that it's not just bonbons every day and putting your feet up.
And you don't get sick days. You don't get sick days. Everybody in my house has the flu. They're sick. I'm throwing up. But I'm still cooking the food. I'm still doing everything because my husband was working, so he's at work, so I have to do dinner. I have, you know, so the kids still want to eat. I mean, they didn't say, well, Mommy, since you got the flu, then we're not going to eat the next 2 days. You know, I wrote a blog post that I had due. I'm with the flu, so I got pictures of me cuddled up in my blanket suffering with the flu as part of a paid blog post on going to the Walgreens pharmacy, you know, and for shots and stuff. I was like, well, if had I gone and got my flu shot, I wouldn't be curled up under this blanket freezing to death right now. And that's the thing, too. When you have a job, if you're sick, you get the day off. You don't have to go to work, so you get a little bit of a break. When you're at home with your children, when you're sick, you don't really get a day off because the kids still want to eat. They still want clothes. They still want attention. They still want hugs. And my kids are big huggers. Mom gave a hug. Even my son. My son is 11. He's now taller than I am. And I'm 5'7", so I'm not short. My boy is 11, and he's 5'7 and a half, looking down at me laughing. Mom gave a hug. And then the teenager on her way to summer, well, Mommy, what should I do? What class should I pick? And then the twin, Mommy, I thought you loved me. Be my friend. Mommy, you let me hear, let me tell you my story. And, you know, I done heard this story 6 times today, baby. I know it by heart. I can tell you. You don't have to tell it to me anymore. But you can't say that. You have to listen and act as though it's the first time you've heard this story and you enjoy it. And that's whether you're sick, whether your fever is 97 or 107, you're still on call. And that's something that people, when you're thinking about transitioning to home, your work is now 24/7. You know, a man works from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. That's not to complain, because there's nothing to complain about. That's just a fact. It's life. And that's just something you need to embrace, acknowledge, and accept. That's just part of your new role.
Yeah, it really is. Not to frighten anyone, but, you know, you have to look at the whole aspect of it. If you are a lazy person and you just want to be able to get away with doing the minimum, staying at home, being 100% at home with husband and wife is not it, because that is going to cause additional friction or cause friction, because your husband is going to have an expectation of what your job is or what he's required for you to do at home. And if you haven't really signed up to do all of that, you were just trying to get out of the job that you had in outside of the house, this is not what you may need to do. You definitely have to have a good conversation with your spouse about what his expectations are, what he's wanting from you every day, because what you may be thinking you're going to do, is not what he thinks you're going to do.
And you have
because
to talk,
I know
it's absolutely right. You have to talk.
Yeah, because I know when I transitioned to home, I cooked every day before. This was really funny. I don't know where I slipped out at. I cooked every day when I was working, but when I got home and was at home all the time, I was like, "Well, we should just go out to eat." And he's looking at me, "But you've been home all day." I'm like, "But I'm tired." And he's like, "But you didn't cook, so how tired can you be?" Because I cooked when I was working outside of the home, but when I, you know, and it was just something that I thought I could give up since I wasn't working anymore. But that's not what his plans were. So it's really important for you to talk it through and know what each is expecting from each other. Because just like you're at home, you may want your spouse to come in and do something for you, and he's been outside working every day, and he's not none the wiser. Because, you know, I have my specific date night. I know my husband works two jobs, and he's a truck driver and all that good stuff, but he knows that I have to have my date nights every week, so that's just part of his psyche. It's no, I'm tired. It's no, that I can't. It's none of that. I'm giving my all to the house, so this is what I want from you. So, you know, you have to make sure you have that conversation.
No, you have to talk. You have to have a conversation so that you know what he expects. So that he knows what you expect. Okay, if I'm home, I expect you to bring this amount of money home. And it doesn't. And be real, you know, just be realistic. You're home, I expect to have this much money to run my house. I need this for the electric,
yeah,
this for the gas, this for the mortgage, and I want this much money just for me to do whatever the heck I want to do with it. Have the conversation. I think that's one of the most important things, is that to have the conversation. And when you're home, if you've had a hard day and you're not going to cook that dinner, I'll call my husband and I'm like, okay, look, I'm tired. The kids have been driving me crazy all day. I'm ordering them pizza tonight. I'll have something special for you, but I'm ordering them pizza because I'm not cooking for them tonight. And if when we have that conversation, he's fine with it. He's like, well, if you're not cooking for them, just save me some pizza. And I'll have pizza, too. Don't make anything special for me. But because we had that conversation, he's not going to come home expecting this delicious dinner that's not going to be there. I prepared him in advance.
Right. Yeah, it's really important to do that. And just talk about it. I know you know, when you guys started, when you started your transition, you had the twins, and they was infants. So now they are seven and in school and doing new things. There's a new conversation that always has to be had. I like the fact that you talked about that he was saying, okay, so you're a writer. I'm going to need you to get to writing. Either you're going to write inside the home or you're going to write outside the home. You're not the kid's, you know, total senior now. So what you going to do with your life? At least y'all came back to the conversation instead of you assuming what your new role is going to be.
No, we talked. We talked because I thought they're big enough now. You know, when they were, they're in first grade. They're in school from 8:30 to 4:30. So do I want to find something during those hours? And we did talk about it. And like I said, the decision was either I'm going to work, I'm going to spend $5,000 a month for daycare and my expenses to get to work and keep whatever money on top of that I get, or I'm going to work at home and try and make some money. And it was funny because as soon as he told me that, my personal computer, I belong to a couple of Facebook groups, and one of them, we do Google Hangouts all the time. And my computer was in bad shape. It just kept dying every Hangout. And, and so while we were in the middle of this, you better have that book up by July 15th, Dave. The computer, it just kept getting on my nerves. And one day I hit the wall in the living room one too many times because my computer kept shutting down. So I started typing my book on my phone because I'm getting it done by the 15th because my man said have it done by the 15th. So I'm going to have it done. But what he did to me, which was a beautiful thing, he said, look, what I'm going to do, I'll give you this money, go buy a computer today. And I was like, okay. And he says, buy the computer, buy the warranty. When I come home, have it all done. I don't want any excuses. You need something, you need tools to work with. And so to me, that was a wonderful thing. that he took money that he was planning on doing something for himself. It was his spending money that he saved up for something. It wasn't our budgeted money. It was, you know, money from that he has in his little savings account that he saves out of our spending money, and he gave it to me. He put that investment into me because he says, if you're going to do this book right, you need a real computer. You need to be able to work, no excuses. And so now I'm doubly obligated to do it because I done took the man spending money. You know, I took his spending money because when he offered, I'm not stupid. Yes, I'm going to take his money and buy a new computer so I don't have to keep hitting the wall with this one. And so now I'm doubly obligated. And I think that's important when you transition to staying at home. You have to keep your word. Your word is your bond, and you have to be about your mission. When my children were very young, my mission was all about getting them, keeping them alive, raising them, taking care of them. Now my mission is still all about my children are first, but also I need to make this money as writing. You know, someone said write as if your life depends on it. It does. This is what my husband and I agreed on. I'm staying at home to do this, working around the children's schedule. I need to keep my word. But it meant the world to me that he invested money into me. He invested time into me into following my dream. And so he doesn't say it, but I feel as though I owe him for that. I owe him. I need to produce. I need to produce what I said I would produce since he made the sacrifice to help me. And, you know, 24 years.
Yes. I'm sorry. I got distracted because I do have a child at the house right now. This has been a really, really good conversation, and I know we can continue on and on. And transitioning takes more than just a whim and people just deciding today that I'm going to quit my job and work at home. It takes some planning. It definitely takes some planning. So we have a few more minutes. I want you to give the listeners just some tidbits on from the starting to the thinking of staying at home to actually doing it. If you could just give them a few tidbits or some things that they may need to consider and or talk about.
Okay, the first thing you need to do is don't make the decision by yourself. Make your husband a part of the decision. It should be a family decision because it affects the whole family. Even if you come from a family where you and your husband keep your money separate, he was still used to you having your own money to buy your shoes. He was still used to you having your own money to buy your purse. So now if he has to cover your shoes, your purses, your nails, and your hair, give him the courtesy and respect of letting him know that. So the first thing before you make any moves is talk about it. Talk about, can we do this? Can we do this financially? Can we make the sacrifices? Are we willing to make the sacrifices to go from living on two salaries to living on one salary? Second, communication is about the key behind everything. We're church people, so we pray, pray, pray. Pray about it, pray about it. Pray before you do it, while you're doing it, after you did. Just pray, pray, pray. But you need to communicate. Talk to each other. Can we, before you just do it, don't just decide to do it and surprise the man. Talk to him. Make him a part of the decision because then he will feel happy about it. He won't resent you for doing it because it was a part of a decision that he made. My husband told me that nothing makes a man feel more like a man than being able to take care of his family, being able to bring groceries in the house. And so a man wants to be able to provide for his wife, and if he's used to her helping provide things, he wants the courtesy and respect of you talking to him. So number one, talk to your husband before you make the decision. Number two, talk about what you expect. Okay, we decided I'm going to be at home all the time now. What do you expect from me now that I'm home all day? Are you getting me a housekeeper or am I the housekeeper? You know, talk to him about what he expects from you, what does he expect that you're going to be doing all day long. And you let him know what you expect from him. Okay, if I'm going to stay home, I need X number of dollars. Can you? Because reality is we need money to live. And so you need to be able to say to him, I need X number of dollars to make this household work. Can you earn that? If you cannot earn that on his own, find out is there a way that you can earn some money inside the house doing something so that you're in the house and earning money. But if you're going to be in the house, be in the house. Make sure that if you're supposed to be in the house to take care of your children, make sure when your children are home, you're not working on something else, that you're working on your children. You know, be a person of your word. If you're going to be home to take care of your children, when you're home and the children are home, I don't get to watch my TV shows. I have to watch the shows they want. And you know what? I'm sick of SpongeBob. But the kids like SpongeBob, so that's all we watch is thinking SpongeBob, okay? Because I'm a person of my word. I'm there for my children. I have to be all about my children, all about my husband. That's what, be a person of your word. So communicate, pray, communicate. Lay out everybody's expectations. Be doing the business that you say you're going to do. If you're supposed to be there to take care of the kids, take care of the kids. And then also one thing that you brought up, take time for yourself. All right, put that as part of the conversation. Okay, husband, look, I'm taking the time. I'm going to be home with the kids. I'm going to be home with you. I'm going to be doing all that wife stuff that you want. But you know what? Every so often, I need some time for y'all all to leave me alone. And this is the time, I think, to work for that purpose. And explain that from the beginning, because you're going to need it. You're going to want it. You're going to want to have time where you go out with your friends, where you and your friends go out just for the fun of it. It's nobody's birthday. Nobody died. Nobody got a promotion. It's just, you know what, it's Wednesday. I want to go out with my girls. Now, you can't do that every week. You can't do that. Who knows how often you can do it? It depends on your family situation. But you need to have that time in. And find a way for adult conversation. That's extremely important. I learned that
yes.
with the twins. When I'm stuck at home all day long, and it's just us and Sesame Street, and that when they were brand new, they were too little for Sesame Street. And, you know, when you're home all day long and you have no interaction with kids, when you're used to being out in the world, when you're used to having a good job and being an important person like I was, it's boring being at home by yourself. It's boring. It is boring. And so you need adult interaction, and that's why I discovered Facebook and social media, because that's where I got to meet adults. That's where I got to talk to adults.
Uh-huh.
So while there are many people all over the world can't stand Facebook, I love it, because that's where I got to have conversations with adults. I got to have conversations with adults, and you have to work what you have. You know, make a plan.
Yes.
If you fail to plan, you have to you plan to fail. So what you have to do is
Absolutely.
Have a plan for staying at home, how it's going to work. And the most, and it's the whole thing with the whole bottom line behind everything is being at home and taking care of your family is a mission. So to part, you know, to take from a rap song, you have to have your mind on your mission and your mission on your mind so that you can get done what you need to get done. And that's the bottom line behind, I know I'm a suburban soccer mom now, a little church girl with my little rap songs. But it's true. You need to have your mind on your mission and your mission on your mind, or you're not going to get it done. You need to know what you
Absolutely.
Want to do so you can do it. And that's the key to success. If you put all those pieces into action, it's because we've had a plan. And that's why it's working in our house, because we had a plan. We knew what our mission was. We want to take care of our children. We want them to be important. We want them to grow up to be good Christian children. We want them to grow up and not have too much damage to tell their shrinks about. And that's our mission. That's what we're working for.
Oh,
and I think those things will help.
If people would just make it to this end piece, if they would just make it to these little tidbits that you, I mean, the whole conversation was wonderful. But if they just wanted the snippets of what to do and be blessed in trying to figure out how to transition, you just blessed somebody's marriage right here.
Well, praise God.
I know you have, because just have your mind on your mission, and your mission on your mind is going to be a breakthrough for somebody, because it is so true. So true. We can talk again. I'm not going to even do that. I need to get you to tell us how people can get your book as of July
15th. Yes, to make my husband happy. The book is going to be available
yes.
on Amazon for Kindle. Yes, please make my man happy. Buy my book. It's called Advocating for Your Children's Success, and it's all about teaching you tricks and tips on how to advocate to help your children be successful. And it's keeping in mind it's success for your children, not my children. My children's success is not going to work for you. You need your children's success, and that's what this book is about. It's helping you keep your mind on that mission, making your children successful, having your children. I'm all about that. That's my catchphrase, you can tell. But the book is all about how to figure out what's going to be successful for your children and then how you can work to make it happen. And it's going to be on July 15th. And if the listeners can catch me on social media, everything is my name, Janine Davis, at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever. Everything I do under my name, because it's easy to remember for me. So I would love to connect with any of your listeners to talk about this. And any of this stuff, because I like to talk, I like to interact with grown people, and it's a wonderful thing to be able to to live your dream, to do what you want to do, and to accept, you know, to just accept that that's a blessing. God bless. God wants us, church girl, again, God wants us to be happy. He doesn't want us to wait till we get to heaven to be happy. He wants us to be happy now.
Absolutely.
We are his children. We are children of the King, so we should live good now. And
absolutely.
That's what it's all about. You know, give God the glory and the praise for everything. That's where it comes from.
I am so glad you took time out of your exams to grace us with your knowledge here on Making It Last. Because, you know, people will look at you and say, she was an attorney and she gave it up to be at home. But even though that you got an $80,000 check and probably got many more of those types of checks, the bond and what you're depositing into your family is priceless. And I just thank you for sharing your journey with us and being so open and transparent about it, because it is a blessing. It is a joy, but it's hard work, as you stated. It is definitely hard work.
So, yes. This is not for punks. It is not for punks. If your punk has to start, you won't be.
Absolutely. Or you going to tell him you're going back to work, one of the two. So you're going to come up with another plan. But to me, I definitely thank you for joining us here today. I really, really do. And I will definitely have you back. I know you have another book coming out. I'm not going to spoil it for anyone, but definitely get the advocate, the book that's coming out July 15th. Hook up with Janine, follow her, because she has some wonderful things coming down the pipe that is not only going to bless your children, it's going to bless you, it's going to bless your husband, your wife, it's going to bless your marriage and your family. So you guys just stick with her, stick around. You know I'm definitely going to talk about her. So Janine, I want to say thank you for being here, and I want to thank everyone for listening in today. I do appreciate you being here on the Midday Chat with Pamela, because this is not about me. It's not about my guests. We're just the vehicles that God is using to get whatever message is out. Whatever you got out of this transition, it was for you. If you're listening to this call, it was for you. If you picked up anything out of it, it is for you. Just tell the Lord, thank you for guiding you here to Making It Last, because I thank him for giving me this medium to use and giving me the opportunity to be able to get guests like Janine Davis that is open, honest, and transparent about it. It wasn't easy. Who would have really gave up an $80,000 one opportunity job and then come and be at home and then you're trying to figure out where you're going to do what? But she knew what her purpose was. She knew where her heart is. She knew what her marriage and her family needed. It's not about the money, because God is going to bless her and bless her husband for everything that they have given up. They're going to get it tenfold. So make sure that when you decide that you are going to transition, that you are transitioning for the right reason and that you are bringing God into this. Don't just make this decision on your own. Like Janine said, have a conversation with your spouse. Also have a conversation with God, because he's going to be the overall, the one that's going to give you what you guys are lacking. So make sure that you're doing it for the right reason, and make sure that you know exactly what you're getting into. This transition is not for pumps. I'm just repeating what my guest said. Y'all know I love all y'all. So I do thank you, and I want you to join us back here next week, Midday Chat on Making It Last. We're going to have another soulful conversation. We're going to talk about love, relationship, marriages, wives, husbands, and children. All of that wrapped up in one. Janine, I say I love you, baby. I do appreciate you.
Love you, too. Thank you so much for having me. This was really
thank
wonderful.
Thank you for joining us here on Making It Last.
Right,
it
thanks.
Was such an intriguing and thought-provoking conversation about marriage, love, and dating. It's all about connection, commitment, and consistency. Make sure you join us here at the same time, same place next week when I offer you another great conversation with some great guests. Until next time, remember to date your spouse, open up the lines of communication, and just enjoy yourself. This is Pamela on Making It Last.